Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. And so, to Cook the Perfect. And this morning, Claire Thompson, who's coming in her pinny, the author of The Art of the Larder, is going to prepare Ligurian farinata. Now, I have never heard of this, Claire. What is a Ligurian farinata? I quite like saying it. I like eating it?
Hello, thanks for having me. It's chickpea flour, so gram flour, but also known as chickpea flour. It's a very common ingredient, lots of Indian and sort of Northern Asian cooking, Italian cooking, French cooking. It's just a flour made from chickpeas. I've come from Bristol this morning, so I've made a batter with water and chickpea flour, and it's just, looks like a pancake mix.
So is that all that goes into it?
Yeah.
The flour and water?
Yes. So you could flavour this with turmeric and mustard seeds or something like that, and use it as a batter to sort of make your own pakoras or bhajis, or you can cook it thick like a pancake in southern France, or you can do it like I'm going to do it, which is more like a thin pancake.
And Ligurian, this is Italian.
Yes, so lots of black pepper, red onion, tasty.
I have to say, I was slightly alarmed when I read 2 tablespoons of black pepper. Doesn't that sound rather a lot?
Well, no, I think black pepper is one of those underrated seasonings, really, so it's often sort of the default thing on the table, salt and pepper, but as a chef, I think when you're going to use flavour, I think be deliberate with the flavour. So cracked black pepper, fatly cracked, you know, and thrown into dishes. I think that's going to be really good sort of warming, intriguing buzz to your mouth.
All right, so you've got the mix, which you brought ready-made. You're now peeling
an onion.
A red onion.
Yes. You could use a white onion. You know, my philosophy in food is to be very liberal with ingredients and knowledge, and I don't want to write a hard and fast rule book for people to cook by. I want them to feel emboldened and confident with ingredients and to cook to their ability.
Have you got the pan nice and hot? Because I was thinking on our funny little cooker over there, it will need to be hot, won't it, do a pancake properly.
In goes a bit of oil.
So that's olive oil in, yes?
Yep, so some olive oil. I'm going to chop some red onion.
So this question of the larder, it is something I suspect that these days very few of us have a larder or a pantry. What do you mean by it?
So I wrote this book to sort of encourage a store cupboard state of mind, really. I don't have an enormous kitchen myself. I don't have a larder. I've just got a wall that I had a carpenter built, a sort of a bespoke wooden shelf along it with shelving units to house all my different ingredients. I'm a chef by trade, so what I wanted to was to write a book that encouraged people to be organised and thrifty and cook with ease with the ingredients in front of them.
So you don't even have to open a cupboard door, you can just see them there on the shelves. Yes. Okay. What basic staples would you recommend that every family should have in store?
Gosh, flour. You know, I think in this day and age when we're all worried about too much packaging, I think being able to cook is a life skill that I really want my children to have. So flour, pulses, they're one of the most sustainable crops to grow, and you know, with a low carbon footprint. Pasta, of course, rice, olive oil, tinned tomatoes. You know, I don't think you need esoteric or expensive ingredients to cook well. I think you just need to have, confidence in the ingredients you're using.
Is the olive oil getting hot?
Yeah, I've got it on max. Right, so in goes a bit of my oil with the pan steaming. Farinata batter goes in.
Okay, so that's some of the pancake mix gone in. Do you need to finish chopping the onion to
save
it? Because presumably the onion just cooks on top of the pancake, yeah? Okay, so while you're doing that, you do list 12 types of flour as basics. I didn't even know there were 12 types of flour.
Well, you know, I think that's about confidence in your ingredients, really. I'm all for using white flour, but then I want to be able to have a mix and match approach to my cooking, and so I might use brown flour or wholemeal flour, spelt flour, rye flour, buckwheat flour. I think about being able to cook well is being able to have an ability to understand the ingredients in front of you and use them to the best of your ability.
How do you shop for your store cupboard to avoid what I'm afraid I have in my cupboard, which is lots of half-empty packets of ingredients that have been there for ages?
So I think little and often, you know, we're in a world that has a massive facility to shopping. So I think supermarkets, online shops. I'm lucky I live in Bristol and I have a very brilliant local road that's housed with lots of different types of shops. So I've got a Turkish shop, a Middle Eastern shop, an Indian shop, and I cook and buy from those ingredients often.
What about spices? How do you see, I'm just asking you questions which will solve all my problems.
Yeah.
I've got lots of spices and herbs, actually. I do buy some fresh herbs, but herbs that have been sitting there for ages. And I think I shouldn't have kept them for as long as that. I shouldn't, should I?
No, I think things go deteriorate. The older things get, they deteriorate in quality and in taste. So I think you want by little and often, and to cook with them, you know, the more you understand about the ingredients, the more you're going to want to use them. Can it go higher? No.
Ah, Paula, the producer of this item has just come in and to try and make the oven hotter.
Great.
Have you succeeded?
Yes.
Oh, good. So it's sizzling away. Good.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Because I don't want to have to eat an undercooked.
No.
That would be just dreadful. Something else. You say you rarely use your freezer for food. Why?
Well, as again, I'm lucky that I can cook little and often and buy in shop often. But my aunt, who is no doubt listening, stores her very lovely woolen and cashmere jumpers in her freezer to stop the moths from eating them. And so in my freezer, I've got
She keeps her clothes in the freezer.
Yeah, so a few of her more sort of lovely jumpers. And so with my children's jumpers from when they were babies, I keep them in the freezer just so the moths can't get them, because you can't stop them getting to them, can you? I don't know about your listeners.
So I mean, we've been talking about dried ingredients that have been going into the store cupboard. What do you do about your meat and your fish and all that kind of thing?
Well, I do eat meat, but, you know, as I think we should all be, predominantly I want to eat vegetables and pulses, and meat is a sort of luxury, a sometime luxury that comes in once a week. So I will buy that fresh on the day that I'm cooking it for, or Sunday lunch or something. But mostly I cook vegetables, so I cook every day, and I post on Instagram what I'm cooking at home as a kind of practicing what I'm preaching thing.
Now, as far as pulses are concerned, I've been through this as well, of having things that have been stored in jars for ages, and I think, oh, just pour some hot water on them, leave them overnight, they'll be fine, and they're not. How best do you store pulses?
Store to cook them from rehydrated. Just leave them in a big bowl overnight in cold water.
But is it okay to keep them in the jars for a long time? Because it seems to me that if I buy them and use them reasonably quickly afterwards, they come out much more flavoursome than they do if they've been sitting in a jar for ages.
Yeah, I think, you know, pulses need to be used quickly. And like anything, they're a fresh ingredient. Even though they're dried, you know, they're going to deteriorate with age. So I think you should buy them often and look for ones with a long sell-by date, and then you'll be winning.
And, we've talked about spices, haven't we? I'm now worrying about how's it going.
It's fine. It's finally got hot, the baby belling.
Okay. So it's got nice and hot.
Yep.
Does it have to be turned over or tossed?
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over, flip it over really quickly, like a pancake, really. So you could cook this batter and do it as a soccer and cut it into wedges, like you might get a frittata or something. But I'm cooking this thin, and then I'm going to whack it over and cook it on the other side. A bit more pepper.
And in Liguria, would they eat this on its own, or would they eat it with vegetables?
It's a street food snack, so you can have it as a sort of antipasti or a quick lunch. You know, it's really cheap. A whole bag of gram flour, a kilo bag, is £1.40. So buy it, understand its versatility, and then cook with it. So you can use this as a batter to cook the pakoras or the bhajis, or make farinata or sotta. You know, it's a cheap and thrifty ingredient. That's what I'm all about in my cooking, as I want to encourage that kind of confidence in ingredients.
And I've just eaten the whole of Claire Thompson's Ligurian Farinata. It's somebody, because on the other side of the glass, they're also eating one, because you've very kindly cooked another one for them. And somebody said it's a bit like a paratha. It's a slightly crispy, very brown, really rather delicious.
But unlike a paratha, then it's wheat-free, it's gluten-free, it's made with chickpeas. But yeah, same sort of principle,
it's
pancake.
Really good, and despite my worrying about all the black pepper, it's really, really good.
Well, good.
Thank you very much indeed. That was lunch. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.